Thank you, Brother Dan, for leading us some songs to prepare the date of Advent, trying to prepare our hearts to receive our Lord Jesus Christ, to commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Using this today, I'd like to share a message. We talk about who is this? The title is Who is This? The one that we are going to celebrate, the birth. Who is this? The passage I'm going to share is something that I think most of you are fairly familiar with. It's about how Jesus cast out the demons and throw the demons, let the demons get into the pig, the swine. Most of you are very familiar with this passage. Could we have maybe just read the three verses here? And let's read together to prepare our heart. Let's go. Jesus asked him,
"What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, "because many demons have gone into them." And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the abyss. He gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the abyss, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned.
So I think most of you are very familiar with this passage. I'm going to use this passage to ask, who is this person who are going to celebrate his birthday? Who is he? So this is a story about Jesus casting out the demons from this man into the swine. Now, using this message, I'm going to talk about this story from five different angles, five characters. The first one is the disciples. The second one is the demons. And then Jesus himself and the people around in that town. And finally, the man who was cured. So, looking at this story, looking at the five different angles, different characters in this story, which is a true story, and looking at this from their perspective, who is this? Who is this? Okay, so let's first talk about the first part, 22 to 25. Can I ask the sister to read that together? One day, Jesus said to his disciples,
"Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down to the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
So the background of the story is that one day Jesus asked his disciples to sail, so to the other side of the lake. And then they went, and suddenly a big wind storm came down on the lake. For both people who are familiar with this region, who have traveled to Israel, to those parts of it, they said, this place is a scary place, because those people who are the salesmen, when the winds come and the storm come, it's really terrible. So you don't want to face a storm like that, because the high in the hill and then deep in the valley is about 600 feet, and then the warm and the cold air mix together, then storm will come, and when the storm comes, and you don't want to be in a boat like that, it's very terrifying. They would not want to see one. So you can see that when they're sailing along this on this lake, suddenly a squall came down, and they were very afraid. Should they be afraid? If I were you, if I were them, then I would be afraid, because it's so scary. Suddenly, with this wind striking. But should they be afraid? I guess not. Why? Because Jesus is in the boat. Right? Jesus in the boat. And they said, "Wake up, Master, we're going to drown." And Jesus surely woke up, and he built a wind. And what he said? "You're men of little." And they said, "Who is this? This guy is dining with us. We walk with him. We share the gospel. We have fun with him. And suddenly, when he come up and we say, 'Come down,' the whole wind subsides. Who is this person? They've been daily interaction with. Who is this guy?" His power over nature is the law of nature. So sometimes when we are in daily life, sometimes we have some difficulties. We're trapped. And we are afraid with our difficulties. We are in a difficult situations. And most people, naturally, we feel very afraid because there's a lot of sufferings, a lot of persecution, a lot of just very difficult to handle. It's just like a storm or wind. We are afraid. We are scared. We're very anxious. But should we? No. Why? Because Jesus is in your boat. It's in your heart. Don't be afraid. I'm the law of nature. I'm with you always. Look at me. Do not be men of little faith. They have a practicum on fail, and unfortunately they failed this test. Because they have been learning a lot of Jesus' teaching about the parables before this passage. They talk a lot about teachings. They say, oh, we have attended a seminary already, so we can teach. And Jesus said, wait a minute, you have to have internship, practicum. Let's go to the field, Galilee. And surely they failed this test, the test of faith. So from the disciples' perspective, we can see this is the law of nature. Who is this? He's the law of nature. Second passage. Can I ask the brothers to read that together? Let's go. They sailed to the region. And surely, actually, the disciples were right. They have good reason to be afraid because they are getting to the territory of the Gentiles. The Gentiles worship idol. Adultery is very common. And surely, when they arrive at the shore, what happened? This man, one man approached them, and this man is possessed by the demons. Are you afraid? Of course, you have good reason to be afraid. Now, when I read the Bible, I like to dramatize. So I'm going to dramatize for you so that we can feel into that and you have the feeling. So today, if I'm just one of the bystanders, I'm one of the herdmen who is watching the pigs, the swine. So I see this man, this group of men who are the foreigners coming on the shore. So what do I feel? Something to watch. Why? Because we have been tormented by this man. This man is with evil spirit, and he has been nuisance in our town. And every day when we pass the road, we are scared because he's going to come and torment us. So this has been an eyesore for our town for a long time. We try to resist, we try to restrain him, but he's so powerful, he could not be restrained. So he has been nuisance in the town, and we kind of avoid him. And now the foreigners comes. Let's stand by and see what happened. Or maybe they also were tormented, just like we were tormented by the evil spirit. Or at least there's some fighting going on. Kung Fu. Kung Fu. Let's see the battle between the guys. So they're watching. But when Jesus approached the shore, what happened? The man came down and knelt down. No Kung Fu. Very unexpected. This man who has tormented so many people came down and knelt down. Who is this? Even the Holy Spirit came down and knelt down. Who is this guy? The answer is, you're the Son of the Most High. You are the Son of the Most High God. Even evil spirit, just when he approach him, he has to kneel down. That's our law. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we are trapped in difficulties or trouble, we're so scared. But we forgot to focus on the Son of the Most High. He's just incredible. His power is so immense. But we just underestimate him. He simply is just a man, a weak man who's been crucified on the cross. No, he's the Son of the Most High. The evil spirits nailed down. Why? Because he's afraid. He's afraid he's going to be thrown into abyss. Because Jesus said, Jesus, our time has not come. We know our destiny. We're going to be thrown into abyss. But it's not time yet. Don't give us a hard time yet. But we have to embody somebody, right? So don't cast us away, because otherwise we'll be very lonely. We'll be very sore. So we know that we're going to suffer, but not now yet. He knelt down, that possessed man knelt down. It's not to worship Jesus. It's just that he knelt down not to be suffering, receiving the suffering so soon. Jesus, who is this? Is the Son of the Most High. This man has been tormenting others and himself. But instead of struggling, there's a battle. He said, you're the Son of Most High. So from the demon's perspective, there's a very good description. Who is this Jesus? This is the most Son of the Most High God. So we carry on and look at how Jesus responds. Luke 8, 30. Let's read it together. Jesus asked him, it was drowned. So Jesus asked, when the man with evil spirit asked him and begged him, and Jesus asked, what's your name? Legion. What does it mean? Legions, just like the Roman army, concepts of many people in thousands. So from here, there's some spiritual secret of spiritual whim. Now, this spiritual evil spirit need to be embodied to feel good. At the same time, it seems that the same body can hold many, thousands. If the host is willing, or the host is initial willing, but they when the people say, hey, friends, come on, this guy is really, really welcoming us. So many, many more coming, and it becomes very powerful. It cannot be restrained, because of the power of legions. So when Jesus asked, what's your name? Legions, because they're many. Don't throw us in the abyss. Please. And those are pigs. Now, human beings are nicer. They're bigger houses. But we don't mind as more cottages. How about let us move from the big house mansions into little cottages. The pigs. It's better than having nowhere. Just wandering. So let us embody. Go to the pigs. And Jesus gave the permission. And surely when they got in the pigs, and then the pigs, punch to the dip and get drowned. From here, what I see, it's interesting. Even the human spirit, Jesus listened to them. That kind of kindness and mercy. When they beg, Jesus, okay, the time is not yet. I grant you permissions, go. And then surely they get into and body the pigs, and the pigs jump into the deep and drown. So from here, I can see this evil spirit need to embody, and when they got permission, they drown. I can see this is the real. Who is this? This God is not just a powerful God. It's a wonderful, merciful God. He really cares. He really listens. Even the evil spirit. For us who trust in him, who are, for us who are men of little faith. When we have need, whenever prayer, so He even grant us and help us more. He's a law of mercy. But there's one little question. You know, when the pigs go into the swine, do you know how many? 2,000. So you say that, what are economic laws there? 2,000 pigs. How many did you have earned to have 2,000 pigs? And by the way, Jesus, you have no right. This is not your pigs. You just get drunk and it causes people's economic laws. By the way, Jesus' law of all. It's the law of all creation. All so-called property is not us. We are only stewards. He has the right of over all things. By the way, Jesus is also powerful. He said, don't worry. I'm going to compensate you somewhere. He can do that, right? If he caused economic damage to these people, he can some way get them. Hey, he's rich later. So he's powerful. But more importantly, to recognize this is the law. Is only powerful, but He is also with the Lord who cares. So from Jesus, we can see the law of mercy. Let's look at the fourth character, the people. Okay, let's ask the ladies, our sister, read that together. Go. When those tending the ships... So let's imagine, let's dramatize, and let's envision the whole things again. And this now suddenly, and then when they all this plunged, the pigs plunged into deep, and the herdsmen went back and reported to the masters. And what happened? The whole town, all people went out. Now let's imagine, now in this kind of situation, what you expect the next scene will be? I would imagine naturally, right? When they came out, they'll be rejoiced, right? Right, first of all, this has been a nuisance of our town, right? Then he has all been tormenting us for so long, and whenever we pass this road, we have to avoid them. So it has been an eyesore of the town, and also we're so scared. And look at this man, this poor man being tortured by the evil spirit. So now that the evil spirit is cast away, we have to rejoice. Right? That's a natural feeling, right? No. What's the reaction of the people? Get away. Go away, Jesus. How do you feel about that reaction? Instead of a pure, natural rejoice, he said, go away, please. Why? Why do these people have this such reaction? Just feedback. One, they lost the money. Economic explanation, right? 2,000 pigs is not a little thing. 2,000 pigs. So if we let you stay 1 day, 2,000, next day is 4,000, and 30 days we all bankrupt the whole town. I don't think it's the real reason. It may be a little reasons, but I think the most reason is that because these people, they said, we don't care who you are. We just don't care. Who is this? I don't care. Don't come and disturb our lives. We want to live the life that we want to. Don't just mess it up. Go away. These people came out. They're overcome again. And they asked Jesus to leave. They ignore this man of power. This man can cast out evil spirits. This man can bring joy and peace. Yet... they said, go away. Now from this saying, I remember a scene about the Christmas. We talk about Christmas, remember? The wise men went and came to the star and guide them. And they're looking and looking and they went to King Herod's palace and say, "Hey, King Herod, you are the king. You must know something very interesting. The guys from the east to come here." And tell us where it is. King Herod say, then he asked his priests, right? His scribes, a lot of this, where they learned the man. And surely, did these people know? They know. Let's read the passage. Let's ask the brothers read that together. Brothers, let's go. When King Herod
heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "What is this what the prophet has written? But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Did the chief priests and the teachers of the law know? They know very well. They know the Bible very well. Because they attend seminary. They're Bible scholars. They say, this man, Benjamin, was born a ruler, a shepherd, the people. They know. But what did they do? Just stay there. Stay in the palace. As if nothing happened. Hopefully they know very well who is coming. But what did they do? They just stay there. And what happened to the Herod? Not just he stay there. He killed any boys, any children below 2 years old. I was just scared by these thoughts. How can it be? If you know so sure that the Lord is coming, the powerful Lord, you just ignore him. At least, I don't care. And we share the gospel around, you can see that there are many people like that. Yeah, you're Jesus, this nice person, you have nice religion, you have nice Christians, but don't disturb our lives. I want to go on and live our own lives. Who is this? I don't care. Christmas is coming. How do people choose this? Some people say, "Oh, we worship God." Some people say, "Let's have a party. That's the more important to our life. Let's have a Christmas party, dancing party. Let's give gifts." If you have nice reasons to celebrate this, commercial reason. We got a Christmas gift. Finally, so these people says the peace saying, "Jesus, Lord being told, I don't care." So let's read the last two verses, 38-39. Let's go.
The man from whom the demons had gone out, he had to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him.
When I envision this story, it's really interesting. There are a lot of twists. Something you expect didn't happen. And it keeps twisting. And how do you expect this man of the possessed man? He was a possessed evil spirit. He has been tormenting many people. While all his neighbors, his countrymen say, "Go away." He's just a country. He said, "Jesus, take me. Take me with you." Jesus said, "No, no, no. You stay here. By the way, if you like, share what happened to you, to your people." And Jesus left. And what did this man do? He faithfully ordered. He faithfully followed the instruction and started sharing gospel about himself and all over the town. You know what? Was he effective? Tremendously effective. You know what? I watched a tape about archaeological finding. They said in this region, the Gentile region, they find out that in this Gentile region, very strangely, there are many early church in this region. This is supposed to be non-Jewish area. These Gentiles of these cities, is this already? There are actually quite a few buildings of early churches. This man was effective. Now, if you revisit the whole story, why did Jesus ask the disciples to go over to the other sea? One reason. For just one man. He came just for one man. And we came. Satan knows that. The Lord is coming to invade territory. What happened? The wind came. Start shaking. The scroll come down. And what had Jesus said? Rebuild the wrong. Quiet. So not just calming. It's rebuking. Quiet. And when you approach, the demon person will receive men. When all the men reject him, one man say, yes. And Jesus said, that's enough. My purpose, my mission has been accomplished. Now you can go back. And that's it. That seed becomes the seed of many churches in that region. Just because of that man. The man over town. And that is a spiritual warfare. And this Lord, who is this? This Lord is the Lord who treasures souls. It's the law of salvation. He came all the way just for one man. Just one man only. He saved him. So what is the takeaway of this passage? Especially approach the season of Christmas. The people, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Every day, you know that we are trapped with so many difficulties, worries, our work, our families, our little children, our little problems in church, and all these things together. It seems always just so we're just scared. All our energy just suck away. Just suck away. You feel so tired, so helpless. You're being defeated. So you be afraid? Naturally, yes. But don't be, because Jesus is in your boat. You need to shift your focus on Jesus because He's the Most High. Immensely. You cannot even imagine the power of His. You lose for focus. Look at all the problems. And you know, Satan is so happy. He's just throw a little job for you. Work hard. Earn make money. Throw some children to you. Care of the children. Throw some little problem to church. Work with the problems. And then what happened? All of us just get disarmed. And you lose your vision. What's our vision of the church? Prayer and share the gospel to the world. Satan said, you guys are so easy to deal with. Just get a little thing and you're all trapped already. No, brothers and sisters. Focus on the Son of Most High. And don't lose the vision of your calling. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you for having us to worship you as we approach the Christmas holiday. And let's remember, who are we celebrating? It's not just an ordinary person. Is your Son of the Most High. Help us be men of strong faith. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.